Welcome to Press
Talk.
It. Welcome to Press
Talk.
It. Welcome
Talk.
To Welcome to Press
Talk.
It. It seems there's a goose somewhere in here that keeps interrupting me. Let me go shoo it away real quick. All right, I think I shoot it away. Okay, I think I'm ready to go.
I think Dr. Doom helped you. He helped you chase that goose off.
Yeah, good job, Dr. Doom. Welcome to Press Any Button. I'm Eric.
And I'm Nikki.
And today we're talking about...
Untitled Goose Game.
Today we're talking about Untitled Goose Game, which is a 2019 indie puzzle stealth game developed by House House and published by Panic Inc. Players control a goose who bothers the inhabitants of an English village. Players must use the goose's ability to manipulate objects and NPCs to complete objectives. All right, so you have a good history for us?
I have a honking good history.
A honking good time?
I have a honky-tonk history for you.
All right.
You ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Honk!
So, Nikki.
Yes, Eric. I'm a very polite person.
I assume this game was made by a goose.
Oh, totally.
Because this...
The goose. Not a goose.
What's the difference?
It's like he's like the godfather of gooses. He's the goose.
The great goose?
The goose. If you look up a stock photo of a goose, it's that goose.
Okay.
All right. But getting into it for real, this game, the idea of it actually started, it goes back to 2016, and the four-person team at House, imagine it, they're all chatting on their group chat, because there's only four people that work at House, and it's still actually a four-person team to this day. But anyways, imagine it, they're all chatting on their little group chat, you know, their team chat, whatever. And randomly, one of the guys is just like, let's make a game about this. And it just posts a stock image of a goose. A domestic goose, I must say. Because where we live, we have Canadian geese, which are brown, like the brown and white and kind of green sometimes.
Yeah.
Domestic geese are the white ones with the yellow
bills. Okay. So those are domesticated geese.
Yeah. So if you were in a group chat and someone's like, let's make a game about this. And they just posted a picture of a stock image with the watermark on it and everything.
So that was a pretty compelling argument.
Yeah, and then like the chat just takes off as it does, because like imagine like you're in a group chat with your friends, you know, one person makes a joke and then all of a sudden it's a bit, and then you just keep going on with it,
yeah.
And then like you next thing you know it's a whole thing.
And next thing you know you have an entire game.
Exactly. Next thing you know. You have a whole game, okay? You have a whole concept. So, if you were going to think of games that might have been an inspiration to this one, does it kind of remind you of anything? Or would you think, did any other games come to mind? Or you're like, oh yeah, it was influenced by this game for sure.
Trying to think of other stealthy, kind of puzzly games.
Mm-hmm.
You could say like Metal Gear Solid or something.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's like the stealth game I can think of.
Oh, Hitman is a big one.
Oh, Hitman, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get to that later. But the one of the first ones, and this is more of just like game design-wise and not necessarily gameplay-wise, Super Mario 64 is actually one of the initial inspirations just for the movement and wanting players to control a character who could run around a 3D environment.
That's interesting.
So would you have guessed that ever?
Not really, because you can't really jump, and I feel like that's such a huge part of a Mario game is being able to jump.
Yeah, but I said more environment wise and not gameplay wise. So, but yeah, you're walking around a 3D environment. I guess that technically could be a lot of different games.
Yeah.
But Super Mario 64 was one of the first ones that did it. We have an episode about that. game if you want to go listen to it. But they, House House, had just made a game called Push Me, Pull You. And that one had more of a 2D design with flat colors. So they kept the flat color kind of style, but they wanted to up the experience by going from 2D to 3D.
Okay, so they're a
3D game now.
I guess that makes a lot more sense because, yeah, taking that 2D to 3D kind of Mario world, the Mario 64 leap. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, like, they kind of kept more of the style, but like I said, they evolved to the 3D model. One of the first systems the developer implemented was making the NPCs tidy up after an item was moved. This kind of made me laugh, but it seems simple, but I'm sure it's hard to program that, you know?
Yeah.
But it is a big part of the game and why some of the puzzles work, because you'll move their objects around or their belongings around, and then they'll go to tidy it up, and that's one way you can get the NPCs to go to a different area or something.
Yeah, and that kind of like works as a way to reset the level.
Yeah. And then after that, they decided to restrict the NPCs' field of view, which made the game more stealth focused. So I think that's where the game really started to figure out what kind of game it was going to be. You know, yeah. Like they started out with this 3D world and they just had this goose, you know, walking around. And then you can kind of see step by step how it plays out. So they started this one system and that led to this other thing. So the game structure of using missions with specific targets is where the inspiration of Hitman series comes in. But instead of violence and killing someone in each mission, it's more like a joke with a setup and a punchline. So I think of like each area kind of like as a joke. And you have all these little tasks that sort of lead up to a bigger sort of punchline or a bigger funny thing that's going to happen.
I mean,
you know?
Each objective is usually pretty funny in itself.
Yeah. Like one example is when you are in the area with the guy who's just trying to enjoy his morning and read the paper, have a nice cup of tea. And you come over and one of the objectives is like to get his shoe and then put his shoe in the fountain. And then he comes over and he gets his feet all wet and he's all mad and everything. So I think it was like stuff like that, or the next section where you have the lady in her backyard trying to just paint or like do her crafts, and you keep stealing all the guy's stuff and bringing it over to the bust and she's putting it on. So it's like one by one article of clothing, and then like at the end you sort of have like a funny bus that looks like the neighbor, you know, things like that.
So the joke is usually human suffering.
Yes, exactly. Human suffering, annoyance, any sort of thing that can like throw your day off the rails, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was funny that they kind of did that on purpose. Like, this game isn't supposed to be super serious or anything like that. In addition to Hitman and Super Mario 64, there's a few more influences, like children's TV programming from the UK. So shows like Postman Pat, Fireman Sam, shows sort of like that. I've never seen any either of those, but I imagine they're sort of like some of the ones that we have here, like Paw Patrol or Bob the Builder, that kind of thing.
So I feel like the NPCs are kind of based on that, where it's like you have these kind of profession-based NPCs, mm-hmm. where they're kind of like going about their day, doing tasks or whatever.
Yeah.
Like very, very friendly, non-violent, mm-hmm. that you're essentially tormenting because they can't really, they don't really do anything exactly. violent to you.
Yeah, the worst thing they can do is kind of chase you away.
It's kind of like take back their item and shoo you.
Yeah. But that's why the game has sort of a storybook vibe. You know, it's like they took some of the muted colors and muted style from their first game and then paired it with some inspirations from kids' TV shows. And you kind of get this storybook kind of feeling with it.
Cool.
So you might be asking yourself, Nikki, you haven't talked about the title yet. It's a weird title. It's called Untitled Goose Game, but that's actually the title. So.
I just assumed they got lazy with it and couldn't come up with a title.
Exactly. So you're like, could they not come up with something better? Well, turns out, no. What had happened was, actually, they submitted this game for a gaming festival called Fantastic Arcade, which is in Texas. And at the time, you know, they hadn't decided on a title. When they were making the game, they just kept calling it the Goose Game. So they just submitted it as Untitled Goose Game. Well, the game actually got accepted into the festival, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh crap, we actually have to announce this game to like the people that follow us, you know? We don't have a title. So they're like trying to think of stuff, and nothing was good enough. And the deadline got there, it just stayed Untitled Goose Game, you know? It stuck. Basically, every viable title had been suggested by the fans, but they never found anything that they liked more. So,
I mean, what's a better name for this? Like, I have no idea. Like, Goose Causes Havoc,
or right?
Havoc, well, Causing Goose.
I want to go more into that with the fun facts, because I have a whole list of it, and I don't want to go over that here. Okay. But if you just hold on a second.
Hold my horses.
We'll cover that with the fun facts. So,
all right.
That being said, the game was originally scheduled to come out early 2019. It ended up being pushed back to September 20th, just to kind of fine-tune more of the details and get it, you know, fully finished and all tied up. So, yeah, like I said, September 20th, it was released on Mac OS, Switch, and Windows. And then PlayStation and Xbox versions were released later in the same year, in December. And then lastly, I want to add, in 2020, a free game update added the co-op mode for two players.
Yeah, because that co-op mode wasn't there the first time I played it.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting because, yeah, almost a year later, they're adding that, which is kind of a sweet bonus if you bought the game early on and then you just get this for free. That's pretty cool. So, yeah, so that's pretty much the history.
Cool.
Are you ready for some fun facts?
Yeah, let's do some fun facts. What do you got for me, Nikki?
So I said I would get into it more later, so I'll go ahead and do it now.
All right.
Fun fact number one. When asked about the title, developer Jake Strasser said, "It's not like House was in desperate need of inspiration for a title. We've had too many suggestions from fans over the years. Everything from Metal Goose Solid to Honkers Gone Bonkers.
Honkers Gone Bonkers.
Goose on the Loose. Wild Goose Chase. Duck Duck Goose, etc. The jokes write themselves," end quote.
Yeah, those are some pretty good ones.
So when you said Metal Gear Solid earlier, I was like, yeah, someone did suggest Metal Goose Solid. Like, that would have been kind of hilarious. Especially because there is that one part where you have to get in the box.
Oh, yeah. So good. You do hide in a box. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Which is my favorite part of Metal Gear Solid.
It's so silly.
Yeah. All right, another fun fact number two. In September 2024, House revealed that a pilot for the animated series titled Untitled Goose Program was developed. It ultimately was not picked up, but the pilot is on their official YouTube page. And we did watch it today, and it was pretty funny.
Yeah, I actually found it when looking for future stuff, and I watched the little cartoon, and it was hilarious. It was great.
Yeah. I'm not sure how they would make a whole series about it, but, I mean, I'm sure they could figure something out.
It worked great as a short. Yeah, I agree. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of room to expand upon the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Other than having different characters that the goose is causing havoc to.
Yeah. But the pilot is cute, so if you want to go watch it, it's only like 4 minutes long, so
yeah,
go check it out on YouTube. And fun fact number three, so funnily enough, Untitled Goose Game does have one alternate title, but only in Japan. So in Japan, Untitled Goose Game is actually Here Comes the Mischievous Goose.
why is it different?
I don't know, maybe it's just like the translation, or I'm not really sure why. But yeah, that's the only country where they did change it or have a subtitle, and that's what it was. And I just thought that was hilarious because it's very accurate, you know?
Yeah.
Facts.
That's a pretty good name, but yeah, that's hilarious.
All right, so that's it. That's cool. All my fun facts.
Good fun facts.
For fun game. Yeah.
So, as you know, there's not a whole lot of story in this game.
You're just a goose having fun, cutting loose, causing havoc.
Yeah, causing havoc.
You're just causing havoc.
Yeah, the game is basically sectioned off into different areas. And once you complete enough objectives in one area, the next area opens up. Mm-hmm. All in all, there's like four areas where you have a significant number of objectives to complete.
Like five. You have the gardening, then you have the store, then you have the tea guy. Then you have the garden lady. Then you have the pub.
Well, the tea guy and the garden lady is one area.
Oh, you think that's one area?
Yeah.
Okay. I count them as separate, but...
Well, it's one objective sheet for both yards, really.
Oh, that's true. Good point. Good point.
And then once you complete those four areas, you can grab this bell and bring it all the way back to your little goose den.
And then you're happy. You live happily ever after.
And that's pretty much the game. So, yeah, simple, short. It's good in a lot of ways. And we can, do you want to go ahead and get into the pros?
Yeah, for sure. One of the main things, I think this is the main appeal, is this is a silly and fun game with a little bit of evil and chaos mixed in.
Yeah.
Like silly and fun, evil chaos. Like no violence. Nothing serious is happening in this game.
Yeah, I mean, the most violence you would do, although you can't grab a knife.
You make that one guy fall on the ground when you pull his chair out from under him.
It just like physical falls, I think. Is there anything more violent than a physical fall in the game, you think? Like there's no stabbing.
Honking at that one guy when he's drinking his tea. I'm sure that would like hurt pretty bad. Tea is usually pretty hot.
You hit that bell as he's drinking the tea.
Yeah, that's pretty mean.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very silly, very fun. Like we laughed a whole bunch playing this game.
Yeah.
Being silly geese.
Yeah, and definitely, yeah, messing with the NPCs is probably the best part.
Oh, yeah.
And knowing that they can't really do anything to harm you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All they can do is, like, shoo you away. And it's always fun to take back the NPC's possession after they take it back.
Yeah,
exactly.
So
they take it from you, and then you grab it out of their hand and throw it off.
Sucker.
And then you can honk at them to mock them.
Yes. I love that you can honk at them.
I like how the objectives seem like something a goose would make up for themselves. Like, it's not anything serious. It's not like get, you know, X dollars or, you know, it's just like ridiculous stuff.
It's all about annoying people. It's like, oh, make this guy buy his own toy back. So you take his toy and you put it over in the store.
Yeah.
And then the store owners, like, I guess, did not know anything about their inventory that they had and thought it was theirs and made you buy it again. Like, just really silly stuff. Or
gathering specific objects and bringing them back to like a spot for something kind of silly.
For a picnic.
Yeah.
So you can have a little romantic picnic.
A picnic or washing someone's clothes for fun or setting up a table.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like random funny goose things.
Yeah. I like that this game has single player mode, but then they added the co-op mode later. And the co-op mode is really fun. It's like a nice game if you want something just to play real quick with someone. Maybe you only have a day or a weekend and you want to finish a game. Like, this is the perfect game to play with someone.
Yeah.
If you want just a short, fun game.
Yeah, for like an afternoon or something.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't want a large commitment, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice. And tag teaming some of the puzzles can definitely make them easier too.
Mm-hmm. Or more complicated.
Yeah.
Which could be more fun.
Some of them it makes them harder and some of them it makes easier. Like sometimes when it's like when we were trying to lock the gardener out of his fence, I felt like that was easier because it's like you distract him, I'll grab the keys, I'll hide the keys, then you lure him out.
Having someone to distract is very helpful.
Oh yeah. Or just run defense. You spread your wings and like try to like get in someone's way.
Oh my God. Honk at them. Oh gosh.
But yeah, I agree. The multiplayer option that was added later is a really nice touch.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the controls were good. Like controlling the goose is like, it feels great. Like even though there's not a whole lot you can do, like you can kind of crane its head down or and just grab stuff.
Yeah.
And then honking and flapping its wings.
And you can run. But yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple.
It's very simple controls, but they're pretty easy to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get a hang of them, it's really just fun to mess around.
Yeah. And I think almost anyone could play this game. I think kids could play this game, obviously, as well as adults, because the skill level is not very high. You're just picking stuff up mostly and running around. There's not like a lot of platforming or anything. So
yeah, I agree.
I think the art style for this game is really nice to look at too. It's like we mentioned before, it's more pared down, but it's really pretty and does kind of give you that feeling of looking at a storybook or something with that kind of style.
Yeah, I think of sure. Like the Wind Waker, if you ever played that Zelda game for the GameCube.
No.
But it's that kind of like cell shaded style that looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like it a lot too.
Yeah, it's not too over detailed or over stimulating or anything, because it doesn't need to be. Like, it's a simple game, simple, fun, silly game with simple, fun art.
Yeah. That's about all I got. Do you have anything else?
Oh, yeah, I have a few more things. The concept for this game is really unique. I mean, what other games have you been a goose? I've never played as a goose before. The only other one I can sort of think of is that crazy goat game.
Oh, Goat Simulator?
But that's totally different because the physics and everything, it's not really, other than you're just playing as an animal, that's where the similarities kind of end.
Yeah, those are totally different types of game. Although, I think there is like kind of a checklist style to Goat Simulator. So they do have a few things in common, but the absurdism of Goat Simulator goes well beyond like Goose Game.
Yeah. Just basically having a Hitman Goose game, like, it's just funny to me. Yeah. I love it. Taking a concept that's normally very serious and very dark to just turning into like, oh, this is a thing.
Yeah, making it low stakes.
Exactly. So I love when people can do that kind of stuff or have like cool ideas for something that's, you know, more outside the box. Another thing is after you beat the game, you unlock a good amount of post-game content. So you unlock more to-do lists and more objectives that you can do. There's a lot more trophies that you can collect after that. So I feel like even after you beat the game, there's still a pretty good amount of stuff you can kind of do.
Yeah, and these are like harder puzzles that usually involve like more of the world and not just the area.
Yeah, it might cross over. Like you'll have to get an object from another area and bring it all the way over to a different area and do something.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's more complicated and hard if you want more of a challenge, but if you don't want to do it, you don't have to.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think that's nice. And then this one I would like to say last, because I think it kind of carries over into the con, but it is a short and sweet game, but it's short. Yeah. You know, so like going into the cons, like I feel like a short game can be a pro sometimes, but if you're paying like $20 or more, I think the game should be longer than 5 hours.
Yeah.
So, I definitely would wait for this game to go on sale because it's, like, about $20, right?
I think so, but it's been $20 for a while. You know, it came out in 2019, right?
Yeah, I would definitely, they do sales on it and stuff, so I would definitely, if you could wait for it to be, maybe be, like, $10 or something, that might be a little more
fair. Yeah, I agree.
Fair.
Yeah, bang for your buck wise, it's a short one, but it's still a good game. It's still entertaining.
Yeah.
It's an entertaining 2 hours or 2 or 3 hours it takes you to beat it, but it is short.
Yeah.
And I had that as a con, so.
That's pretty much my only con that I have. Overall, I really thought it was a pretty solid game. I liked it a lot. I love puzzle games, so I thought this was really fun.
Yeah, my cons are a little bit nitpicky. I felt like sometimes the clues were a little bit too ambiguous, but I mean, okay. that's going to be puzzle games in general.
Exactly, because they want you to try a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and then, it was great the fact that they added that multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, though, I feel like they could have added some more multiplayer-specific things in there.
Oh, okay.
Because really all they did was took the same game and gave you added an extra player, which is cool.
Yeah.
Like it makes some of the puzzles easier and some harder because, mm-hmm. You're constantly messing up stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But I thought it would have been cool if they actually added some two-player specific puzzles.
Like
you need two geese to do this thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You have to work together somehow.
Well, like, I guess some of them, they just happen to be more for two geese. But you're saying they were the same as on the single player mode?
As far as I could tell.
Because, you know, like the one, like, still both the shoes from that one area is, like, still both of the guy's slippers.
Well, you can't.
That would kind of be hard with one.
You can't do them both at the same time either way.
Oh, that's true.
Because good he only point. Has one foot up at a time.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, good. But maybe if they do an Untitled Goose Game 2 and they have more in mind, maybe like when they're creating it, if they have the co-op more in mind, they would do that. And maybe for this one, it was more of a, oh, let's just add this on, you know, instead of something yeah. they had from the beginning.
No, I feel like the multiplayer is good. It was a nice addition mm-hmm. that was like...
Especially for free.
Yeah, added yeah. later for free, which is awesome. But it's just one of those things, like, I wish they had thought about it a little bit more and maybe added mm-hmm. some stuff for it. But, yeah, maybe they're saving it for a sequel. Who knows?
Yeah, I definitely think there's room for a sequel that they could take this game and build upon it and make it just a little more chaotic, just a little more, like you said, maybe have a more objectives for two players. Maybe they have a 3 or 4 player mode.
Ooh, man.
That would be, you could have a geese. Whole gaggle of geese just running around. A whole gang just terrorizing everybody. It'd be great.
That'd be pure chaos.
It oh sounds pretty flat, actually. So, you know, this game, so much strategy, right, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot here.
Yeah.
I have a couple things, and just one is, like, it's really tempting to go into an area and just immediately start, like, wrecking the place.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's fun.
But you see, you have to kind of, like, observe the NPC behavior to like figure out some of the puzzles.
Yeah, if you want to be patient.
So the problem with that though is like the NPCs will have to move back every single object. Mm-hmm. So if you're waiting for them to get back to kind of their default state, you have to sit there and wait for them to move every single object back to where it was supposed to go.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's one of the more difficult aspects of playing this on two players is like
being patient.
Yeah, if it's just you messing stuff up, that's one thing, but it's like, okay, now you and a buddy, it's like, all right, friend, stop messing that up.
I said stop.
It's like, we need, so annoying. We need this guy to do a thing. He has to like go and like put up the sign or like, you know,
yeah,
go into like his routine behavior.
My top strategy was be as annoying as possible. Because it's fun. Okay. Is it going to help you get all the objectives? Probably not all of them, some of them, but it's fun, okay? And I'm trying to have fun.
I had something very similar. I said be aggressive because there's no consequences for not
exactly.
being aggressive.
Be aggressive. Be aggressive.
Go ahead and grab that item back out of their hand. Who cares? Yeah. Who cares if they shoot you off?
Just fuck everything up because you're a goose. If you're playing co-op mode, obviously communication is key. Hey, stop fucking that shit up. Hey, distract that guy with that carrot.
It's like, I got this you thing. Know. Distract him, distract him, distract him.
Distract, distract.
Yeah, that's a lot of the co-op play.
Yeah. You have anything else?
Nah, that's
just,
it.
Just, you know, it, like any other puzzle game, trying to think outside the box. You know, the most obvious thing is not usually going to be the answer. So just try some stuff and...
Yeah, then when you get frustrated, just look it up online.
Yeah. And one thing that I wanted to mention, I didn't write this down as a pro, but I'm just now remembering and I thought it was really fun. But when we were playing together, we would kind of come up with these inside jokes that were just between you and me. Like, it wasn't part of the game or anything, but it's like, we would just stand in a place and honk at each other and we just thought it was like the funniest thing ever. Or like... I'm flapping my wings, you flap your wings, and it's like kind of silly stuff like that that I'm sure the game creators didn't even think of. But if you're playing with someone and, you know, it's just, yeah. I thought like that was kind of an extra bonus. Like you could just be really stupid.
Have these really silly moments. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, little inside jokes.
Yeah, it's nice to sit back and just have a little fun, even though you have all these objectives to do. Yeah, it doesn't really, it's not that important.
But it's like, no, let's stand on this bridge and just honk. Like, yeah. Try to honk in sync or make a little song or something.
It's a short game, so enjoy your time with the game. You don't need to rush through it.
Yeah. I saw on Reddit, someone said they had a friend that had put in 100 hours for this game. And I'm like, the very next comment was like, what are they doing in this game? And their friend was like, just messing around. I'm like, dang. I mean, you can mess around in this game for a good bit, but 100 hours, I don't know. They were probably, maybe they were streaming or something.
Yeah, I can see it if you're practicing a speedrun or you're trying to get into the speedrunning aspect of it.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's what they were doing.
Yeah, some of those speedrunners will just, like, grind a game for a really long period of time.
Yeah.
Until they can, like, just, you know, that's all muscle memory and they can just go right through everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe that's what they were doing. So I'm like, 100 hours? Like, I think I have like 160 hours in the Stardew Valley right now. Like, and that's like a pretty intense game with a lot of stuff to do. This is like a 2-hour game if you're just trying to beat it. I feel like if you're trying to 100% it, maybe like 6 hours?
Yeah, 4 or 5.
Because some of those speed objectives are really hard. At the end, like, do this before the bell rings and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's where,
so, I don't know.
That's where I can see you starting to sink some more hours into it, for sure.
Yeah. All right. So, Eric, did you find anything about the future?
So, you mentioned that little short cartoon that existed.
The pilot, they made. Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. So, they were trying, I guess they wanted to, like, have that as a pilot or make it into a larger thing, but it never really happened, so.
It didn't get picked up.
Yeah, so this year they put it up there and we're like, okay, we'll just show it off to everybody.
I mean, technically they could do their own web series if they wanted. I mean, it was only a 4-minute video if you're just doing 3 or 4 minute videos.
They already decided that they weren't going to go any further with it, though, unfortunately.
I mean, they're just 4 people, and they're also working on a new game, so.
Yeah. The animation in that little short, though, was fantastic.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And like I said, they are working on a new game right now called Big Walk. Should be out next year. They had a nice little trailer for it and everything. So I'm sure their whole 4-person team is working on that.
Yeah, it looks like a cool game. It looks like an open world co-op puzzle game is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be interesting.
Yeah, and the art style looked really cool. Kind of like that pared down sort of simple art style, but still really cool and really pretty looking.
Yeah.
Almost, I don't want to say simple, but it's not. It's just not hyper detailed, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks kind of fun. It's supposed to be out next year, but I didn't see a specific date, so.
Yeah.
Who knows what time next year. All right. So, Eric, did you get the secret prize trophy? Well, I guess did we, because it was a co-op challenge for both of us. But
so,
I guess...
Can you remind me what is involved with getting the secret prize challenge trophy?
It was basically getting every other objective.
Does that mean like every other, like not one and then skip one and then one and then skip one?
You know, that's what I thought it meant. You know, sometimes my brain can take information a little too literally, I guess. And yeah, then once I read it out loud to you, and you were like, no, that means like all the other objectives. I was like, oh, you know what? That does sound more correct. Because that would be a weird trophy. Like, oh, get every other. Like, sometimes I think about things and it just needed a little more thought put into it. Okay. So yeah, the challenge I made was unintentionally pretty hard. But this game being so short and everything, I didn't want to just say beat the game. You know, I wanted to come up with something a little more unique. And in doing that, I made it too hard. So anyways, did we get that trophy? Did we get the secret prize?
We beat the game, but we didn't get into speed running type stuff.
Nah.
We did several of the overworld objectives too.
Yeah, that was my bad.
But it was still fun.
I think that if you get that trophy, you get this crown. Like a king looking crown thing that you can wear or something.
That's
nice. I saw some pictures of it and it looked kind of cool, but it's a really hard challenge to do.
Yeah.
And that was my bad, so sorry about that.
Sorry.
Do not take revenge out on me when you pick the next game.
All right. Well, I guess we're wrapping, so let's hear it.
All right.
Bright as rain, I'm about to ascertain all the news in the domain and the yard where I reign. But to my disdain, the goose must be insane. Cranes his neck to obtain my fucking shoes, not in vain. I do a John McClane, running barefoot down the lane, shouting everything profane. Am I high on Mary Jane? The goose I restrain, I grab my shoes like David Blaine. I'm about to pop champagne, when I wake up I'm in pain. Now let me explain, the goose was arcane, had a scythe and a chain, and was huffing road in vain. Now my shoes, they remain, in a fountain I can't drain. The goose, where did it train? He was the goose Bruce Wayne.
Yo, I'm the goose and I'm here to cause grief. Snatching a sandwich and gone like a thief. Tied up your shoes, yeah, that's my new trick. You're tripping and slipping, I'm such a little prick. I'm honking and strutting and making a scene. Stealing your hat like it's my new routine. Try to chase me, I'm fast on my feet. I'll hide in the bushes and mess with your peace. Making a picnic, I'm not here to stay. I'll take your broom and sweep you away. No title, no rules, just feathers and fun. The goose has arrived, now chaos has begun.
All so right.
Eric, are you feeling vengeful?
Honk.
Honk, honk.
Nah. Well, do you know what's coming up?
Of course I do. One of the best holidays ever. Because of Christmas lights.
New Year's Eve.
Oh, no.
No, our next episode is going to be released on Christmas Day.
Christmas Day?
On December 25th, exactly. Wow.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
So I decided to choose a Christmas game.
Okay.
Well, actually, I had two objectives.
All right.
I wanted to choose a game that was very specifically about Christmas because, okay, you know, there are a lot of games where, you know, you have like a snow level or like, you know, mm-hmm, a Christmas theme level.
It might mention Christmas or something.
But I wanted, yeah, the game to be specifically about Christmas.
Okay.
And I
like the Grinch Stole Christmas, the game or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. But, and I also wanted the game to not be a steaming pile of garbage.
All right. That sounds like a hard challenge for yourself. You gave yourself an extra little challenge.
This was a lot harder than you would think.
No, I believe you because I remember last year I was trying to find Christmas games and there was hardly any that exist, first of all, that are just strictly Christmas games. It's like you said, a lot of them have a Christmas scene or it's just a snow game or something. Yeah. It's not really, it's more like winter, not Christmas, but... So I believe you. I know. I tried to find.
And then I feel like the games that are strictly about Christmas are just absolutely terrible.
Terrible. Kind of like the website games or something.
Yeah.
Back like, in the day, those clicky games.
Like the Flash games or like,
yeah,
you can think of. And then like Elf Bowling was terrible. I mean, it's not awful, but it's not like something you would play for more than like 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just not really that interesting.
All right, so deliver the gift to me of what the next game's gonna be.
That's pretty bad. All right, you don't want to guess?
Santa Claus the game.
Okay, yeah, you're probably not gonna know. No. Unless you already looked and saw that I bought it.
Jingle Tingle Pringle the Elf Adventure. Syrup and Sweets. The right. Elf New York City video game.
You're pretty close.
Raccoon Hugs. I don't know. I'm just thinking about Elf the movie.
All right, so we're going to be playing Cthulhu Saves Christmas.
Cthulhu?
Cthulhu.
Isn't that like a god? That's a god, right?
It's from Lovecraft.
Oh, okay. So yeah, like a mythical...
It's like a horror Lovecraft being.
Okay, okay.
And he's going to save Christmas.
All right. Well, I'm excited. Does that mean I get to save Christmas?
Yeah, and that's your challenge. Your challenge is to save Christmas.
What? Oh my God, I'm a psychic.
I'm pretty sure saving Christmas also means beating the game.
All right. All right. Well, let's save Christmas, everybody. It's up to me.
It's up to you playing as Cthulhu.
I hope everyone's feeling very hopeful. Have faith. Or you don't get any Christmas presents.
All right.
All right. Till next time.
Bye.
Bye. as always, if you love us and you love our episodes, a good Christmas gift for us would be to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or rate us on Spotify. It only takes a second, and it helps us get discovered by other people so they can enjoy us too. If you've played the game, Untitled Goose Game, let us know what was your favorite part about it. All right. Thank you. Bye.